in holiness and fearful in praise. Do he wonders. Hallelujah. You, one more time now. Who is like unto thee? Hallelujah. Oh, oh God. Who is like unto thee? Oh Lord.
Gracious Lord, we are grateful to know, we are certain and we are sure that there is none like thee, O living God. None can be likened unto thee, none can be compared unto thee. You are the holy God, only one God, O loving Savior. You are the Lord God of hosts, you change not, Father. We are grateful that your power is yet the same. It has never changed, O living God. He's still doing wonders. O living God, you are worthy, O living God of our praises. We say, blessed be thy name, Master. Take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ever since we came into your house this morning, you have been blessing us, Lord. You have delivered us. You have set us free. You have healed us. You have filled with the Holy Ghost. You have mastered and filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, we are grateful. We are thankful unto thee. We thank you for the answers to the prayer of the saints, O living God. Lord Jesus, evermore, O living God, fill us with bread, O loving Savior. Lord Jesus, grant our heart desires, O loving Savior. And Lord, Master, continue to help us, Lord Jesus, in our services unto thee, O God, and have your way in our lives, that our lives, O living God, will cope with every word of thine, Master, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your servant, Lord Jesus. We just commit ourselves to your great holy hands, Father. Once again, this evening, help us, O living God, Master. Lord, to what you have done for us in the morning, may you heart, Master, to the same in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Give us understanding. May something be said, Heavenly Father. Lord, that will cause us to live better to your glory, O loving Savior, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for granting all this request, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Master. Be with your servant in other places, your children on the hookup, oh God, may you be with them, Heavenly Father. Be with our pastor, strengthen him, O living God. Faithful him, Lord, that is in battle is post of duty, Master. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. At the end of this service, Lord, may we have every cause to glorify thy great holy name, Master. Thank you, righteous eternal Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You are welcome to the service of the Lord once again this afternoon. Let's take our Bible as we open to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. Last Wednesday, we started this sermon, Israel and the Church. And I said, Brother Abraham preached this sermon five times. He preached it from Wednesday to Sunday. Israel and the Church, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5. So he preached it in a local assembly. But I don't intend to go through it one after the other like that. I intend to bring out something out of the same to point our attention to the fact that our God is the same. Our God does not change. What he did for them in the Old Testament, he has done the same for us again in the New Testament. Abraham taught us that people accuse him that he is a typologist. He said, true, he's a typologist, because the Bible says in Hebrew chapter 1, Hebrew chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, the law is a shadow of the image that is to come. And the sacrifice that they made year by year cannot perfect them that come unto it. Because if those sacrifices have made them perfect, there will not be any need for another a New Testament covenant to be made with the people. So, it was a shadow of the things to come. And Brother Abraham said, when we are talking about shadow, he said, if you see me coming, even without seeing me, you know that this is a human being coming, a man. If it is an animal, you see that this is an animal. If you see the shadow of an elephant, you will not say it is a monkey. It is not possible. When you see an elephant shadow, you know that the animal coming looks like an elephant. Praise the Lord. So, the Old Testament is a shadow of the new things to come. And that is why Brother Brown said he is a typologist. He ties the old with the new. And in Israel and the church, Brother Abraham tried to tie the church in the Old Testament with the church in the New Testament. What happened in the church in the Old Testament? Let's look at what is happening in the church of the New Testament. What is the church in the Old Testament? It is the children of Israel in the wilderness journey. Praise the Lord. Brother Abraham said the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, they were called the people of God. When God sent unto them the prophet, Moses the prophet, and the prophet brought them out of Egypt by the mighty hand of the Lord to the wilderness, in their journey, they become what they called out once. And the church, everybody in the church is a call out once. Praise the Lord. And that was the church in the wilderness. In the Old Testament. And today, there is a church in the New Testament today. Praise the Lord. Which we are part of that church. Praise ye the Lord. So, we basically want to look at what God did in the church in the Old Testament, which was a type, and see what he's doing in this present church. So we know how the people of Israel went to Egypt. We know all the story. Now, before we go into that, I don't want to skip this aspect. The Lord Jesus, we know the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, what did he say? He said, think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to do what? To fulfill it. Jesus Christ did not abolish the law. Many of us think that Jesus Christ abolished the law. He destroyed the law. No, he is coming to fulfill the law and the prophets. Praise the Lord. So let's look at, of course, all of us knew that all that the prophets said about the Lord Jesus Christ came to the dot perfectly. Scriptures, well, we are not going to that this evening. That we know. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, Psalm 78 verse 2, Isaiah chapter 53, Psalm 22, and so on. Zechariah 11:12, Psalm 41:9, Zechariah 13:7, Psalm 35:11, Psalm 16:10, Isaiah 56. All those scriptures were what the prophet was saying about him. And those things that they said about him came to pass perfectly. Praise the Lord. Then the law. You know the law? We can divide the law into two. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's one part of the law. But there is a law of the sacrifices that God gave to them. And by the way, these laws were not given to them in Egypt. These laws were given to them in the wilderness when the church started. Praise the Lord. So, the worship was an ordinance that God gave to them in the wilderness. The law, everything that they had to do to approach unto God was given to them in the wilderness. And how they must live, how they must live with, between each other was given to them. And the law that they had to keep, that is between them and God, was also given to them. Praise the Lord. All this was done in the wilderness. Now, when we look at the first part of the law, let's look at the sacrifices. Brabham taught us that Jesus Christ fulfilled all the laws. All the laws were fulfilled in him. All the sacrifices were fulfilled in him on the cross at Calvary. All the sacrifices that they performed in the Old Testament, all of it, without excluding one, all of them were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, were accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Praise ye the Lord. Let's look at some of them. No, when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, and his forerunner saw him, what did he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb of the Lord of God, that do what? That take away the sin of the world." He was not an animal, he was a man. But that was the Lamb of God. As God told them in the Old Testament that they have to kill a lamb for their sin. Praise the Lord. Now, it was the bullock for the burnt offering. It was also the meat offering. It was the meal offering. It was the peace offering. Now let's look at two special of the offerings. The scapegoat sacrifice. But in the Old Testament, the Bible says God told them that they will separate two goats for him. These two goats, they will cast lots on the two goats. One will be for the Lord, and the other one will be a scapegoat. Praise the Lord. They will kill the goat for the Lord. Use his blood to make sacrifice and the rest of it. But the scapegoat, they have to do something with the scapegoat. And what they do with the scapegoat, the priest will take the scapegoat, put his hand on his head, and confess the sins of the people unto this scapegoat. This scapegoat will not be killed. They will now take somebody that is holy, will now take this scapegoat and take him far away in the wilderness, where he will not be able to find his way back to the city, to perish in the wilderness. Do you know what the denomination said? They said that scapegoat was the devil. That the goat, because the Bible says the goat for the Lord and a scapegoat. That the goat for the Lord was the goat that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the scapegoat was the devil. Rabbi said, that is not true. But the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled both. Both the goat for the Lord and the scapegoat. Praise the Lord. How did he fulfill it? The goat for the Lord was to be killed and to be used a sacrifice for the sin of the people. And also this scapegoat, the priest will put his hand on his head, confess the sin of the people, and send him away to the wilderness. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary, Brother Brown said he died as a man. He died with our sin laid upon him. Praise the Lord. And he carried our sin far away to the devil's head. Praise ye the Lord. So how can Satan carry away our sin? Is it possible? Satan himself is the author of the sin. How can he now carry away our sin? He can't carry away our sin. He took the Lord Jesus Christ for him to carry away our sins. Praise the Lord. And if you believe that, he has already carried away your sin. Praise ye the Lord. That is the law of the scapegoat. Then we come to another one. The red heifer. The red heifer, according to the Lord, they are to take the red heifer without blemish. It must be red or true. We learned that Israel lost that for many years. But now, Israel has gotten a red heifer. And they have kept it in a place. Israel is already preparing for the temple worship now. Whether we like it or not, that is what is going on now. Very soon, the time of the Gentiles, the rapture will take place. Praise the Lord. So the red heifer, what the Lord said about the red heifer is that they will take the red heifer. The priest Eleazar will go with the red heifer. So without the gate, outside the gate, and in his presence, they will kill the red heifer. And when they kill the red heifer, he will take the blood of the heifer to the temple. And we sprinkle the temple, the door of the temple, seven times. Yes, sir? Yes, okay. Seven times. He will sprinkle the door of the temple seven times with the blood of this red heifer. That is part one. Then part two. When they will take this red heifer without the gate, after they have killed it, they will burn the skin, they will burn the flesh, they will burn the dung, they will burn it with oship, they will burn with the cedar wood, and they will burn with the scarlet cloth. And they must burn everything whole until it will become dust. Until it become ashes. And somebody that is clean will carry the ashes. And that person will be unclean and go and wash himself, will be unclean until the evening. Then Baba said, a clean man will take the red of the ashes and go and keep it in a holy place. And when it is time for them to use these ashes, somebody that is clean will take a running water, pour it on the ashes, and it will be used for water of separation for the children of Israel. Anybody that has committed, that has done something that may seem unclean must come before the red heifer, or the red heifer must come before the water of separation, and it must be sprinkled with the water of separation. The whole congregation also, at a time, must be sprinkled with this water of separation. Praise the Lord. And Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, he said, as the body of this beast, whose blood was sprinkled for the sin of the people who were born without the gate, so the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might purge the people, cleanse the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Okay. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So he is our great heifer. Praise the Lord. Because we are sanctified by what? By his blood. And his water of separation, which is his word, cleanses us, separates us from our uncleanliness. Praise the Lord. And Rabbi said it takes a man that is holy to take this water of separation and sprinkle it on the people. He said, Rabbi said that is the minister. Praise the Lord. So, you can see what God did, what God asked them to do, God kept doing up to today. We have a lot. We still coming. We are coming. Brother said, is the pigeon and the turtle dove for our healing. Now, okay. Of course, we know now that there is no. Of course, we know it is the water. It is not a physical. There is no physical water today that cleanses us from any sin. There is no water today. If anybody tell you that there is a pure water from Jerusalem or from anything, it's a liar. There is no water today that cleanses us. It is that water represented the word of the living God. Praise ye the Lord. And that word of the living God is for our cleansing. Like I said, is for our defense, is for our fortification, is for our what? Is for our victory also. Praise ye the Lord. Because how is it our victory? When the word of God is revealed unto you for anything, that is your victory. Praise ye the Lord. And that word of God is also our protection. You can see how important the word of God is. It's our cleansing. It's our protection. It's our defense. It's our victory. That is why the word that came out of God's mouth. That is why the Bible says the word of God is quick. It is what? It is powerful. Sharper than any other two-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. And it's a designer of the thought and the intent of the heart. Praise ye the Lord. And Jesus Christ said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And Brother Abraham taught us that the spoken word is the original seed. He said there is power in the spoken word. Like we had in the morning, it was that word that created this earth. From not using any material, just his word from his mouth created this word. So there is nothing that word of God, if we receive it to our heart, whatever we desire from the Lord, when that word is anchored in our heart and we put our soul on it, Bible says, hang your soul on it. Praise the Lord. That word can never fail. Praise ye the Lord. But it seems as if part, maybe all of us, we have not caught the revelation of what the word of God is. May God help us. So, let's continue. Now, on the other side of this law, when Jesus Christ came, he said, you have heard of them of old. Thou shalt not kill. It is the law, isn't it? Thou shalt not kill. He said, but I say unto you, if you are angry against your brother without a cause, you have what? You have killed that man. Brother said, by doing that, Jesus Christ did what? Magnify the law. And he also said, you have heard that has been said of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if a man should look at a woman to lust after her in her heart, he said he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. That is why our sister needs to be careful the way they dress. Because Brother Abraham said, you will answer the day of judgment with a sinner that you have, maybe you have never seen in your life, that lusted at you because of the way you presented yourself. You will answer on the day of judgment for adultery. You see, if that revelation anchors in the heart of our sisters, they will dress anywhere they are, they will dress well. A man you never see in your life, on the day of judgment, you will be called, he will be called, and you will be called to come and answer. Yeah? When did this happen? When did I do it? When you didn't dress well. And you have no argument. You cannot argue because it's there in the scripture. You can't argue it. May God help us. And also the Lord Jesus Christ said, you have heard, as it has been said of old, that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. He said, but I said unto you. He said, love thy enemy. Let me just quote the way he said it. He said, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you see where the people of the nation are totally wrong? When they will say, oh God, the man that is against my promotion, when he travels, let him not come back. Let his vehicle enter on that trailer. If he enter the plane, let him not come back. Let his aeroplane enter water. If we simply say it, there are big contrast to what Jesus Christ said. Pray for them that despitefully hate you and despitefully use you. Pray for them. Even in the Old Testament, what did he say? He said, if your enemy is hungry, he said, give him food. If he thirsty, give him water. By so doing, you are doing what? Pouring a coal of fire on his head. So, if you are praying against anybody, you are totally wrong. Because you are doing totally contrary to what the scripture says. That is why God said, he said, vengeance is mine. He said, I will repay, saith the Lord. Not that somebody has done you bad, say, let him die. Oh God, I don't want to see him. You see? That is an evil spirit. May God help us. Yes, I wanted to say that, see, I believe that Jesus Christ said all these things because he knew that his own followers, his own believing children, will receive the Holy Ghost. Because a man that does not, that is not filled with the Holy Ghost cannot do these things. It takes the Holy Ghost to do these things. Praise the Lord. Permit me to say this also. You see, Jesus Christ said, the Pharisees came to him, rather. They said, the matter between a man and a woman. They said that Suleiman put away his wife for every cause. Jesus Christ said, no, for it is written that God made them male and female. And he said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But he said, Moses gave us a writing of, said that we should give her a writing of divorcement and send her away to her father. He said, Moses did not give you that law. He said, because he suffered you to put away your wife. For what? For what? For the hardness of your heart. The heart of man is hardened. That is why it is not possible for a man that has not received the Holy Ghost to live by the word. The heart of man is hardened. You see, it is a shame. Divorce does not belong to the house of God. It is a shame that will be said among us. When a man or a woman cannot humble themselves to making sure that they keep their home, it is a shame. Most especially when you have the revelation of what Jesus Christ said about marriage and divorce, which Brother Abraham preached also. My brother, my sister, you will keep your home. A man will humble himself. The woman will also humble herself to make sure that home works. That home stands. What have we to gain in divorce? Oh, may God have mercy on us. Let me know. Because there are some things we could say that will really make us to blush. May God help us. Now, good. We still have good time. But Abraham, when he was watching the sermon, he said it in the fourth, in part one, he said it in part two, I think he said it also in part three. That what is the purpose? The purpose why? He said the greatest thing he has found among Christians, he said it is fear. He said throughout the world, that's what he used. The greatest thing he has seen throughout the world, that is a cause, or the, he said a cause somewhere, he said it is fear. He said, people are afraid when little sickness strikes, They are afraid. Brother Brown said he wants to drive away the fear by the word of God. That is one of the main reasons why he preached this sermon. To drive away the fear of I will get lost. To drive away the fear of this will happen to me, that will happen to me. To drive away the fear that, oh, I don't know what will happen the next season. Because the word of God, you see, like I was saying, which was what Brother Abraham said last Wednesday. Everyone in the church of God, one time or the other, had a calling of God in their life. Everyone in the church of the living God, they one time or the other had a calling in their life. Listen attentively. But Abraham said, when you want to look into this Israel and the church, we said we will go back to the foundation, to the seed chapter, Genesis, where the old thing started. Because the calling of these people, before they became a people of God, before they became a church of God, there was something that happened in Genesis to their great-great-grandfather Abraham. Brother said, God elected Abraham. And when it was time, God called Abraham. And that is the way God called every of his children. Nobody is in the church of the living God as a true believer today that does not have a day when God called him. That is why the church is called what? They called out once. If somebody straight to the church, it could be a mixed multitude without God calling him. That is if he's straight. But every one of God's children had one day or the other that God called them. That they recognized that this is the call of God in my life. By the way, Brother Brown said, no man cometh to God on his own. Listen attentively. Listen very well. No man cometh to God on his own. Wow, the pig. Can you go and tell the pig that this way you are living is not good? It's a dirty way you are living. How will he answer you? Mind your business. I'm satisfied the way I'm doing here. I'm enjoying myself here. Because that was his nature. You can tell him that it is good for you to be like a lamb. You can see a lamb, he doesn't wallow in the mud, he's clean, he's this and that and the other. Leave me, John. Mind your business. Because that is the nature of a person, of that animal. So also is the nature of a sinner to sin. No man on his own will want to be free from sin. Because all of us were enjoying sin until something happened. Praise the Lord. Something must happen. And when that thing happens, is when you have a desire against me towards God. And who gave you that desire? God himself. Because he's calling you at that time. I remember my own days before I started going to deeper life. A time came in my life in Iwo. I was in Iwo then. A time came in my life, I just became bored of myself. I became tired of sin. That burden was on my heart. I was tired of sinning. I said, I will look for God. And when I thought of looking for God, where did I go? I was born in CAC. My parents were CAC. So when I got to Igbo, I went to CAC church. But when this body came to my heart, I was tired of sin. I said, I will look for God. I thought that in my heart. I said, where could I go? I went to deeper life. Because I didn't know any better. Because I knew then that deeper life, at least then, was the burning fire to me then. So I went to deeper life. That was when I started attending their fellowship. It was one of their fellowships that I attended that I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But something happened in my life before I started seeking God. Rabbi said, I sought God. You are not the one who sought God. It is God I was seeking for you. Because your name was written in the book of life. In the Islam book of life, I mean to say. He elected you. He ordained you to be his son. And because of that, he's the one looking for you. Jesus Christ said, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him first. Praise the Lord. So, that was it. Attended deeper life. Well, restitution. From there, I was moving everywhere. Going to places. And I came to my home. The blessed memory. I came to make, because I lived it, I came to him to make right my wrong. You know what happened after that? I learned it was best for me in BGs that God should help me. So, but Akeleb, am I right? God bless you, sir. He was the one that told me that my uncle was raising requests for me after that in the BG that God will help me. So, I think it's something happened that will. Was it? Yeah, I think something happened that I had to come to live with him. The family agreed that I should come and stay with him. That was when I started hearing this message. And then, I have lived my life, and I had this one. Hey, to me, this is strange. This is new. And I knew some. This is the truth. Because what I was hearing was different from what I was hearing in deeper life. And it was God to this message. That was when the doctrine of deeper life about restitution on marriage was I hated that doctrine. Because I've heard from the main source. I've heard from the horse's mouth. Praise the Lord. That was how I started my journey. So, what am I saying? Something must call you and bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said last Wednesday, you cannot come like that if it is God that called you. And God will abandon you on the way. It's not possible. Because God will be defeating his own purpose. But Abraham said, God is not an inner giver. He will not save you today, knowing that he will lose you tomorrow. And no such person will be a troublemaker in the church of the living God. It is the mixed multitude that cause trouble. Not the real believers. Mixed multitude are the ones that are causing, that always cause trouble in the church. Praise the Lord. So God elected Abraham and called Abraham. Then what Abraham said, after the calling of Abraham, God made sure that he separated himself from all the things that hang on him, from every unbelief. Praise the Lord. Let me try to. Immediately after the call, it is separation from everything else. It separates you from everything that hangs to you. Because you cannot walk with God with unbelief. It is not possible. You cannot, God can, Brahman even told us that God cannot bless you. Cannot fully bless you until you separate from every word of unbelief. Just that God did not fully bless Abraham when his father was there with him and Lot was there with him. Those things caused trouble for him. Praise the Lord. So we've got to separate from everything of the world for us to have the full blessing of the Holy Ghost. We must separate. God demands separation. It's not a suggestion. It's a demand. God demands that we separate from everything of the world. Praise the Lord. I'm not scared by your silence. No problem. So Just as we said last Wednesday, and it has been said also today, Abraham was not called because he was a good man. If the calling of God, he said, Jesus Christ said, I have not come to call the righteous. He has come to call sinners. So, you are not called because you are good. It's just because of election. That was why they called you. And it is that election that stands for everyone that is called of God. Praise the Lord. So it is not because we were good, we were bad, all of us were bad. We were sinners. We were enjoying our sin before the call of God came to our life. And that was why we followed the Lord. And he that actually got the revelation of his call, that it is God that called him, he will follow the Lord. Whatever God says, he will do it. Oh, sure, he cannot help it. Even if he doesn't want to do it, there is something in him that God placed there. It's not his effort. It's what God praise ye the Lord. It's not his effort. It's not because he can do it. It's because God put something in him that will not make him to rest until he does the will of God. Brother was talking about the elected ones in hearing, acting, that is recognizing the word of God. Brother said, don't blame the people. They can't help it. Because that thing, that election is there. Oh, mercy. May God help us. Because when we look at Jacob has something that he longed for. And everything Jacob was thinking about was how to get the birthright. Everything he cares about, everything that he longed for, was how to get the birthright. Now, the Bible says that Esau had already gotten married to the children of the Canaanite people, the where they were living. Israel had already gotten married. I was thinking, were they not born on the same day? Were they not born on the same day? Why didn't Jacob also follow Esau and also take one of the girls and marry him? Why? Esau got married and was living, and Bible says that the behavior of those women pained the heart of the mother and the father. But yet, Jacob was there. We didn't hear about Jacob getting married or getting any girl there. But Esau doesn't care in his own case. He's a man who doesn't bother himself about the things of God. Rabban said, there is nothing in him to do what? To do it. That's what Rabban said. There was nothing in him to do the things of God. Whereas in the heart of Jacob, he cannot just help it. He has to do the will of God. In that light, Brabham said it in this sermon. He said, Brabham said some people are predestinated to be saved. He said, no matter what, they will be saved. He said so. And he also said that some people are predestinated to be lost. There is nothing they can do about it. If God has called us to this truth, then we should be happy. If it is God that has called us, we should be happy. Because it's not given to every man. Praise ye the Lord. It's not given to every man to be able to do these things. Some will take it lightly. Maybe the people of even this church, they are doing better than some of our brothers said, or some of our sisters said. So what is the difference? May God open our eyes. There is a vast difference. Reverend said there is a vast difference between a Holy Ghost filled man and a carnal man. Vast. Not just a little difference or some differences. Vast, Brother Brown said. May God help us. May we hang our soul on this world. Because God, He can never, that is one thing that God can never do. He can never fail. Praise you, the Lord. So we talk about separation, and now, like I said, we are not following the sermon sequentially. We are picking some other, some great thing in those sermons. Yes, sir. Partial obedience does not entitle us to the Holy Ghost. Baba said, full obedience does what? Entitle us to the Holy Ghost. It is the full obedience to His word. Praise the Lord. Now, let's. We have little time left. We might not. Oh, goodness. Okay. Let's try to just continue a little while. We know how the children of Israel got to Egypt. All right. Their father Abraham, Abraham said, the call that God gave to Abraham was unconditional covenant. Because he was elected of God. And Abraham said, it is not if you do this, I will do that. It is, I have done it. But Abraham said, but the Bible says that God told him that you will come to me in good old age. God has finished the work with Abraham. It was not, if you do this, I will do that. It was an unconditional covenant. Praise the Lord. Now, when God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, God told him that all this land I've given unto you. And Abraham said, how will I know? Whereby shall I know that you have given unto me all this land? God said, okay, bring a red ephah of 3 years, the ram of 3 years, and the she goat of 3 years, and the turtle dove and the pigeon. Bring them to me and make them, sacrifice them unto me. And the Bible says, Abraham brought those animals. And he did what? He killed the animal and he cut the animals into two. But the pigeon and the turtle dove, killed them. He didn't divide them into two. But Abraham said, because that pigeon and the turtle dove represented what? Our healings. And from Genesis to Revelation, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it is the same thing. It is based on our faith in Jehovah. That is how we receive our healing. Praise the Lord. But the animal aspect of it, God changed that. Jesus Christ did that for us on the cross at Calvary. Praise the Lord. Now, Abraham said, when they want to make covenant in those orients, how do they do it? That is the way they do it. They will take the animal, cut it into two, write their covenant, and they will tear the covenant into two. One part will have one, the other part will have one. And the two of them doing making this covenant, they will stand in between the animal they cut into two with their piece in their hand. He said, if you default in this covenant, let you be like one of these animals that has been killed. Praise the Lord. That is the way covenants were made in the Old Testament in the Orient. Abraham said, either in Japan or in this other country. He said, it is salt that they use, the true salt covenant. In America, it is shaking of hands. After writing your agreement, you shake hands, you say, keep the covenant. They go. Then, for God to make this covenant with Abraham, God said he should do this thing. And after Abraham killed this animal, he drove away the birds until the evening. And when the evening came, what did the Bible say? The Bible says a deep sleep came upon Abraham. He slept off. And after that, he saw A furnace and a lamp that passed through the sacrifices. And God said, know of a surety that your seed will sojourn in a strange land. That is God making covenant with him, telling him how his seed will go to Egypt. But God did not mention Egypt then. Know of a surety that your seed will sojourn in a strange land for 400 years. And after which, I will bring them out to dwell in this place. And the nation that will punish them, I will judge. Praise the Lord. Abraham taught us that was the covenant that God made with Abraham. And that covenant was with him and what? His seed after him. And Isaac was his seed. Through Isaac came the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, when he died on the cross at Calvary, but Abraham said, God tore him into two on the cross at Calvary. He took the spirit away and sent back the spirit on the day of Pentecost on every of his believing children when they received the Holy Ghost. And everyone today that believe the same thing, we have the same Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So it is a covenant, exactly what God did with Abraham, that was what God did in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So it is a covenant that God made with Abraham, and it's a covenant today that God has made with his children. Praise the Lord. And when the 400 years came, did God deliver them? After 400 years, I mean to say. Did God deliver them? Did God take them to the promised land, as he said? Where did God fail? Can somebody tell me where God failed? God did not fail in everywhere, anywhere, any place. It is the unbelievers that rob themselves of God's blessing, of getting to the promised land. Praise the Lord. Brother said, when we are dead in Christ, he said, we become what? Then we become the seed of Abraham. So, and how are we dead in Christ? By the Holy Ghost. By God confirming that covenant, you are part of the covenant. And one that is done, that is settled forever. That one can never be lost in the wilderness. That one must get to the promised land. Praise the Lord. But the unbelieving ones, one thing certain was that the word of God was never broken at any time. All that God called, that were true believers, they entered the promised land. Praise ye the Lord. That is why the Bible says, harden not your hearts as in the provocations. When your father provoked me. So the same thing today, when we hear his voice, when we hear his word, we should not harden our heart. Because the word of God is God. Like I said on Wednesday, the word of God is not God wishes documented. It's not God's wish that he documented. God's word is a commandment. God's word is God. And when we hang our soul on that word, there is no doubt we've got to make it. May God bless you. Remember, Brother Abraham taught us one aspect as we close. Of the journey of the children of Israel, listen attentively. But Abraham said, the journey of the children is a type of the journey today. When we believe the Lord Jesus Christ and we surrender our lives unto him, we are justified. Then we go through the process of sanctification, which is the wilderness journey. Then we receive the Holy Ghost, which is our promised land. Now, at the wilderness journey, a lot of things happened. When the word of God came to them, some murmured. They murmured, they complained. Murmuring and complaining until God was fed. You see, that is the reason when the word of God comes to us, we, if truly God has called us, we cannot argue with that word. The word of God is to wash us from all our unbelief. When that word is coming, that is God's word cleansing us from every and cutting away everything that is contrary to God's word away from our life. But when we refuse to the Pharisees. God canceled. They rejected God canceled unto themselves. In notice in John Baptist. You see, God has his servant. May I say that? God has his servant to bring his word unto us, and that word is to cleanse us. Because it is written, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is what? Truth. And by the washing of the water by his word. So that's why the water of separation is the word of God. To cleanse us from every unbelief. But when we reject the water of separation, we are rejecting the counsel of God. We can never be clean. God says this. You argue with it. How can you be clean? It's not possible. Because the word of God is to wash us from every unbelief and the works of the devil. And when that word comes to us and we argue it, we can never be clean. And we can never receive the Holy Ghost. It's not a curse. That is the truth. This word is given to us, like I said, for our cleansing. I don't care what you are doing. If the word of God is against it, drop it. If you still hold on to it, you are holding on to the property of the devil. God can never approach unto you. That is the truth. Say that God's men. That is it. When God tells you that this is my word, he says, like I said the other time, are we pleasing ourselves or we are pleasing the Lord? Is it that we are pleasing ourselves? God said something, we do it in our own way with our own brain. We are smart. You know, this age is an age of smart people. Smart people. We are very, very smart. God says something, we do it in our own way. If I do it this way, they will not know. No problem. You are subcharging yourself. Because there is no way. No other way to eat than obeying God. God says anything, we must obey. It's not that we can obey. It is a must. We must obey his word. If we fail to obey his word, we are saying that we are not fit for that kingdom. That's just the truth. So that word is given to us for washing. Whether we like it or not, it is the word of the Lord. It's not a suggestion. If we reject his counsel, no way out. God demands what? God demands that we should obey his word. Thou shalt not tell lie. It is a commandment of the Lord. People will tell lie today, and nothing changes them. They will tell lie to their brothers. They will not think about anything. They will not think about it. And you think you are pleasing God? The Bible says, no liar. We do what? We enter the kingdom of God. It is the word of the Lord. But we take, some of us, it seems as if we take delight in telling lies to ourselves. We tell lies just to avoid your brother. May God be merciful to us. I'm already closing. No liar will enter the kingdom of God. Saith the Lord. It's not what I said. It's what the Lord said. Let's bow down our heads. Why don't you commit yourself unto the hand of the Lord? We have heard the word of the Lord. Those are not my ideas. That is what the Lord said unto us through his servant the prophet. Why don't you commit yourself unto the Lord? Remember, that same Lord Jesus is here in our midst. And it's not looking at your face, it's looking at your heart. What will you say unto him now? If you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, the way to come is repent. Every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is God's commandment, God's word. Repent and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And come and be baptized in his word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Then you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That is the way to come. What are you doing with his word? Do you take his word to be just a suggestion? Or you take his word as a commandment? The must do of the Lord. How do you handle his word with the hand of levity? Or do you take his word as a matter between life and death? Has God spoken to your heart this evening once again? What has he spoken unto you? Commit yourself unto him. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Jesus Christ, so we can. good.
If you want to be remembered in prayer once again this evening, if you want God's help and God's touch, why don't you raise up your hand for his servant to pray for us once again this evening? God bless you, sir.
Righteous eternal Father, we want to thank you very much, Lord, for this privilege again to sit for this 1 hour to hear this portion of your word again. Dear Lord, every word of God is good according to the scripture and nothing to be refused. We thank you, God, for this portion that we have listened to. I can extract from Israel and the church. We ask that your spirit will bury these things deep in our heart. May they not be common to us. May you magnify it in our heart. Help us to take every bit of it serious. Love for our benefit and for our salvation. All the deliverances you have wrought for us today through the listening and the hearing of your word, may they be permanent in our life. We just ask, O God, that your grace that has started to work upon us may not leave us alone. We ask, O God of heaven, that whatsoever be the needs and the desires in the heart of your children, that may them to still lift up their hands, Lord, to receive something from you. Those hands are not lifted up just for formality. There is a request, no doubt, behind the hands. We ask that you grant it, dear Father. Lord, as we go, may your presence go with us. May these blessings abide and abound in the life of every one of us. Your servant, you have made use of this afternoon / evening. We ask you to replenish him and lift up the honor of his ministry. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the entire day. We are grateful unto you. As we go and meditate on these things, Lord, may our understanding be enlarged, O God. May our revelation be more bright, Father. We pray, O God, that day by day, Lord, you will shine your light brighter in our life. We will resemble you more in everything that we do. May the glory of God shine forth in our life, dear Father. And as we go back home, you brought us safely, take us back home safely. Your servant that traveled to Lagos, we pray you bring him back safely. And the one that went to Bakatari also. Dear Lord, we want to ask that this week, as we enter into it, may your grace start the week with us. You have started it already in this wonderful way by spiritual blessing. Lord, as the activities start from tomorrow, we pray, O God, that you guide us, you protect us, you bless us, you order our footsteps, you keep us in good health. Lord, you meet every one of our needs, both spiritually and physically. The services of this week, we ask, O God, that they will promote your kingdom in our life. Thank you, righteous eternal Father. Once again, both we that are present and those that had it online, may the blessings abide and abound with us. Pray that you be with your servant, our pastor, and hasten the completion of his healing. Lord, I may return back to his post of duty. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting our petition. Because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We thank the Lord for bringing us to church today. Well, up to like five people came to ask questions about the Sunday school, something which is not new. Is it a new thing? I think we are familiar with those things before. We have had them before. We just reminded ourselves. And you know, somebody asked me that, you know, like if somebody where his cell is a bit far away from the church building. I said, well, the quote that we read did not even talk of church building. The quote talk about selling on Sunday. It didn't talk about the location of where the sales happen. It told us about selling on Sunday. We can go and read it again ourselves. Let me see this one thing before we dismiss. When God told the children of Israel that they should not plant their farm on the seventh year, then he said that, if somebody will say that, what are we going to eat? That's 7 years. He said then, on the sixth year, he said, I will multiply the harvest. That you will eat that sixth year, you will eat the seventh year, you will start eating the eighth year, until the harvest of the eighth year will grow to maturity. That same God have not yet changed. But first of all, we've got to follow his word and obey. We are not talking of only people that sell here. In fact, that was not even the main reason why that thought of talking about honoring the resurrection even came. It's just that it happened to be part of it. And may the Lord be our help. It concerns other businesses. All businesses are business. If you say, thank God my own is quiet and silent and secretly. Did God see in secret? Oh, sure, see in secret. May the Lord be our help. God bless you richly. I say, God bless you richly. Shall we rise? Hymn number 170. Living below in this old simple world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation, so where could I go but to the Lord? Only living below in this old simple world, hardly a comfort can afford. Oh, striving alone, oh, to face temptations. Oh, where could I go but Jesus alone? Yes, where could I go? Where could I go? My soul needing a friend to help me in the head. Oh, where could I go over to the Lord? Oh, neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. Oh, where could I go?